Welcome back to the Film Experience. This is your host, Nathaniel R. You may remember that last week we were talking about Richard Linklater's Boyhood and Luc Besson's Lucy, and how silly the concept was that Lucy was using 100% of her brain, and that gifted her all these superpowers. The conversation actually extended a lot longer than that, so here's part two, with Joe telling us about Diane Keaton's new film, And So It Goes. And as we do, the conversation drifts to Oscar. Enjoy.
Oh, I saw, what's it called? Fuck. And So It Goes.
Oh!
Does anybody want to discuss?
You just to be alone for a while?
Oh, yeah, I actually, since none of us are planning to see it, I'm sure, I do totally want to hear
this. Yeah, Joe, please tell us about And So It Goes.
I'm not sure. See, this is, I opened Pandora's box. I'm not sure what there could possibly be to say about it. Other than the fact that, like, I can't believe that people who have given me as much through their careers as Diane Keaton and Michael Douglas and Rob Reiner could have. It's such a nothing. It's such a nothing. It's so much nothing. There's a lot of nothing. There's just nothing.
That actually makes me think of this recent interview I read with Woody Allen where they asked him about Diane Keaton. And he was like, well, they're like, would you work with her again? He's like, I would love to, but she only does movies for money.
Wow, he really said that?
It was amazing. He said, she has a lot of expenses, and she really can't afford to work for me right now.
Wow.
That's a mean thing to say about the one person.
I don't say as much as I should either. I get it, but wow.
Jesus.
I mean, he managed to say it in a nicer way than we might be paraphrasing, but it was clear that he was like, she has a lot she needs to take into account right now. She has kids now. She's got a lot of expenses.
Wow.
I mean, but the trend in her career is really troubling. Mm-hmm. It's very specifically odd, because it seems like of all the movies she made 10 years ago to have sort of emulated as a career path, why Town and Country? And like, I'm sort of trying to be funny, but also like, look at it, like the Lawrence Kasdan movie and the Big Wedding, and you know what I mean? It's all this sort of thing where it's just like she's working with these incredibly, you know, legendary talents, Robert De Niro, Susan Sarandon, Michael Douglas, Kevin Kline, and it's all this like several years past its prime material, and it's all being received as an afterthought and you know, critical and commercial failures, and I just don't understand what is it about these projects, because they're just dead in the water.
Did you write that article on The Wire? I'm sorry. Or I forget about
it. Was like, it was me and Kevin O'Keefe, yes.
Yeah, that was great.
And it was such a bummer. And
I missed this one, and I like to link up to things we bring up.
It's like a ranking of the relative catastrophicness of Diane Keaton movies since Something's Gotta Give.
Okay.
Is that a fair way to summarize it?
Yes, correct. Okay. And I kept sort of, kept feeling bad about, like, you know, shitting on Diane Keaton because I love her. And also because, you know, actresses of a certain age don't have it easy in terms of getting roles. But she does seem like somebody who, that she has, you know, she's not Meryl Streep, certainly, in terms of castability. But she's still got some sort of cachet, right?
And she does have an extremely well-regarded bankability for a huge chunk of her career.
Yeah.
Right. That's
including 10 years ago, which isn't that long ago.
And I think you were totally generous in your piece about she actually does work way more than almost any of her peers, and I mean, all those concessions. But that it's strange that even when there are opportunities like the Family Stone one or the part in Morning Glory where you think here's a chance where there's enough in place that something could happen, just nothing ever happens.
And part of it seems like it's bad luck, but part of it also seems like it's poor script choices, and part of it just seems like why are we working with Lawrence Kasdan in, you know, whatever that year was, 2011? That kind of thing.
That's so mean.
It is, but also, you know, why are we, you know, taking Rob Reiner's, like, well past its prime material? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think it's the same problem a lot of people have, even people who are very, very successful, like Tim Burton and Johnny Depp, where their comfort level is more important to them than the art.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And you really can't, if you want the movies to last, you really have to think about other factors other than are your friends involved.
This is what I always think about television shows, where if you look at long-running television shows and you look at, like, particularly shows that keep characters around much longer than they have any use for.
Right.
And it's just like, but then you think about it and it's just like, oh, these are human beings working together who like each other and mm-hmm. like working with each other. Is it that big of a surprise that they would sort of convince themselves of reasons why they could keep working together?
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's totally, totally understandable. It's just not good for art.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you good know. For your career. I mean, Diane Keaton is making my desire to see a Diane Keaton movie diminish with every one of these choices. And on some level, she has to know that.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe she's listening to this, though, and going, I tried to get the Guardians of the Galaxy part, but they gave it to Glenn.
She also tried to get the Albert Nobbs part, and they kept giving it to Glenn Close. It's tragic.
She just needs to play Greta Gerwig's mother in something.
Oh, yeah.
Mother and daughter thing. And, like... Bring me back.
The Greta Gerwig scripts.
Yes, yes, yes.
And not because I said so, too.
Mad or money.
Well, I'm glad you're rooting for Diane Keaton, because somebody needs to be.
I'm always rooting for her, too. It's just that, but Joe's right, that I haven't even, like, you know how loyal I am to actors, and everything she makes, I have no desire to see.
Yeah.
Which is not how I usually respond, you know?
Yeah.
So it goes, like, when you said nothing, it made me think of How Do You Know, like the James L. Brooks movie that everyone, I kind of liked and everyone else hated. Is it, like, that level of nothing, or is it, like, badly made?
Much more nothing.
That was
just...
the most tactful way to ask Joe, was a Reese Witherspoon movie worthless? That was really difficult.
I said I liked How Do You
That's
Know,
a
okay?
difficult approach. It was a question. It was clear you didn't think it was worthless, but that was good.
So he didn't fly off the handle in a Hulk rage.
The degree to which I liked How Do You Know was actually mostly Catherine Hahn's doing, but like I feel you there. There's not even that much to like latch onto. It's just sort of like these two older people. There's a duplex house on a lake somewhere, and she's sort of this like. A lounge singer is not the right word for it because she basically like sings in Starbucks for a living? Question mark. And he's a cranky realtor. Like, aren't these archetypes that you're just like racing out of the?
He's dying.
This is making It's Complicated sound like a masterpiece.
Yeah, It's Complicated is a masterpiece compared to this. Oh, and also Rob Reiner, of course, is in it, too, as, like, her agent / toupee wearer / falling down guy. It's real weird. Like, not weird.
Falling down
weird.
Guy.
No, weird is way giving it way too much credit, because it's not weird. It's just...
Does she use 100% of her brain power?
Clearly not.
No.
I wish she wouldn't be in it.
It would be great if instead of, like, the percentage of the brain power adding up on the screen and Lucy is if, and you're watching, and so it goes and the percentage of their salaries keeps flashing on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or well, just this if there is could the be one of those sort of... live meters in the corner showing you how much of their brain power the actors are using, like 0.5%. 2.3% brain power. Diane Keaton is technically dead right now.
Yeah.
So worthless. Even if you're like a curio about Diane Keaton, you know.
Right? If you are into the idea of a movie where older people find love and that
in a duplex,
just like go watch Hope Springs. Like there honestly,
yeah, I forgot about Hope Springs.
Yeah,
I thought you were going somewhere else with that sentence at first, and I was like,
no,
I am interested in that. No. You're telling me not to see this movie.
Yeah,
it is interesting how like this has all been about Diane Keaton, and like we're not even entertaining the idea that somebody out there is like, I'm so affectionate for Michael Douglas. I just like to see him in things. Should I go?
But it is weird that like that's what he's going for after like reigniting his career with Behind the Candelabra too.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Although I don't know which was filmed first.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if That's How It Goes was like made before somehow.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
well,
he's going
also
for
Ant-Man too.
Yeah, he's going for Ant-Man.
I mean, fine. not that Glenn Close gives me hope that any older actor showing up for a Marvel thing is doing it for a reason other than a paycheck.
That is true.
She's doing it for the hairdo. Come on.
Hairdo was really good. I will give it that.
I also want to shout out Nick for burning me all those Academy Awards onto DVD so that yesterday when I was bored in the middle of the day, I could watch the 1990 ceremony.
How was this not burned for me?
This was Joe seizing opportunities and being in my house, being like, you know, a really good thing that you could be doing while we're sitting here.
I don't know if you saw
it. It can happen for you too.
Because listen, you guys, what I want to do for the SmackDown, maybe we could do a group project.
Okay.
I want to do a thing about the 1989 ceremony.
That's the most recent one I don't have.
Because I don't have that one either.
What in particular about that one?
No, just because we're covering 1989.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But so, as I tweeted yesterday, which is still fascinating to me, that when Annette Bening came out to present, Billy Crystal announced her as nominee tonight for The Grifters, can be seen next month and whatever the hell was next month. And upcoming, she'll be Catwoman in Batman 2, Annette Bening.
Wow.
So, like, I was fascinated that, like, the casting was that set.
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, the only reason she pulled out was that she got pregnant.
That's really something. Yeah. Also, when they're doing the red carpet introductions, besides the fact that they took a shot of somebody else from Dances with Wolves and said, nominee for supporting actor, Graham Greene, and I wanted to die.
That's actually a different Lakota Sioux, but
yeah. But they also were like certain to be nominated next year for Silence of the Lambs, Anthony Hopkins, which obviously he was, but also like awkward if he wasn't.
It was already out by then, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing is they both presented together. They presented the screenplay awards. Like they were very much like, priming the pump for next year.
Well, but that's very rare that something's out in February before, you know.
Right, but I just it was funny to me that they were that confident that that call was going to survive 12 months.
Right.
But it paid off. Anyway, you're up to the minute news about the 1990 Academy Awards. It was something. Reba McEntire's hair and dress for performing I'm Checking Out was really something.
I miss Reba McEntire attending the Oscars.
Yeah. Oh, also, it was one of those big Debbie Allen does 8 billion numbers things. All of them featuring Jasmine Guy. That was odd to me. That, like,
well,
she was a television star at the moment, right? Like she was.
Yeah, but I think there was some, because she was the breakout star of that show.
Yeah.
I think there was some sense at the time that she was going to become something else.
Her album had also just come out, which I'm happy to admit I bought. And she was promoting her R&B hits. And I'll play them for you if you want to hear them while we're doing Oscar ceremonies. Anytime you're here. Because when we switched from cassettes to CDs, did I replace it? Yes. I did.
Anyway, lots to think about.
Goodness. Now we have to find somebody who can give me a copy of the 89.
It's too sad. Julia Roberts shows up in, like, a hair shirt, and Michelle Pfeiffer's wearing a hair shirt, and, like, the two most beautiful women in Hollywood are wearing smocks. And except for when Daniel Day-Lewis wins, the whole ceremony is just sad. It's a sad time.
So we've burned it from our collective memory, is what you're saying?
That's right.
Because that is the, believe it or not, that is the only one that I did not see all the way through.
Oh, really?
I know exactly when you turned it off.
No. Because that was, I mean, not that I want to talk about, but it was when I was on my mission for the Mormon church.
And you still managed to watch some of the Oscars.
Yeah. And the next year I managed to watch the whole thing at, like, in the AM hours in Norway.
It's making me a little bit religious to think about higher powers putting you on your mission so that you don't watch Jessica Tandy beat Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, that actually... I just came the closest to believing I think I've ever come. We'll take this up again next time.
Yeah, so, yeah, I need to see that one, because... Anyway. All right, this was fun.
Yay, this was great.
I might wait a few days to post it, since the other one just went up.
That's fine.
Then we'll go back on a normal schedule.
Okay.
The last entry in the 50s is going up in an hour.
Ooh.
I'm excited. I very, very much enjoyed doing that, Nick. This has been fun.
You guys have, honestly, those write-ups are so brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
I feel very humbled.
Ah, you shouldn't, but thank you.
The Emily Blunt stuff, you guys said so little, but so much.
We were Emily Blunt. Nicholas Davis is Edge of Tomorrow.
You guys might talk me into seeing Edge of Tomorrow with the...
Oh, Katie, it's so...
I know. I've just been trying to, like,
find... It's actually still
the...
out. I went to the movie theater last night trying to see Get On Up, and my movie pass was malfunctioning or something, so I didn't get in. But I noticed that Edge of Tomorrow was still playing, and I was like, no way.
Maybe that will be what I do with my afternoon. Need to...
Hard to imagine you doing anything better. Do it for yourself.
Well, I have a little bit left of watching The Immigrant on Netflix, which I'm excited about. But other than that...
You guys, I won my friend's tickets to Kinky Boots last night.
What?
We went to the lottery, and there were four of us, right? And two of us won, but by the time the second person won, they only had one ticket left, so everybody but me went.
Oh, no!
Because I had already seen it, but so they got to see it.
Man. You're so self-sacrificing. You're like a Von Trier heroine.
And not just in that way. Derek sat me in front of Into the Woods last night because he refuses to let me not experience the show until seeing that, like walking into a Bob Marshall movie not knowing what I'm supposed to be seeing.
So do you watch the version?
Be as disappointed as possible, basically, come December?
Sorry?
So you can be as disappointed as possible come December?
I think so. I can be there to support him and know at least a little bit about what he's complaining about. Yeah.
What is it?
At that time. Although he's still maintaining, like, I'm not even going to see it. Like, do you remember the whole Les Mis situation? Like, yeah, but, I saw that. But I'm not even going to see it. Oh, my God.
He was all excited to see Phantom of the Opera, and he's going to pull that with Into the Woods?
That's when he finally two guys that we know, and two of them cried, and Ryan and I didn't cry. Wait, who was that? Yeah.
So did you like Into the Woods?
I liked it fine. I didn't love it, but yeah, I liked it.
Did you tell Derek that you liked it fine and didn't love it, or are you keeping it to yourself? Oh.
We have a trusting relationship. Yeah.
Me too.
It turns out to not be like you. I could not say that about like Sweeney Todd or Merrily We Roll Along. I think those are his favorites, but Into the Woods is in a safe space for me to like it less than him.
Okay.
I like that Joanna Gleason, though.
Yeah.
She's great in that role.
I love her.
I have listened to it on Spotify many times, but I get to watch it.
Yeah, I don't actually like watching recordings of Broadway shows.
Yeah.
Like the videos. So, like, I could see how watching that would not be all that satisfying, even though it was a great production.
Just they're doing,
it,
like,
it
a mini...
It flattens it out to see it that way.
They're doing, like, almost a stage reading production of it in the fall, like, December-ish. I'm thinking about getting tickets, too.
You guys, I need to see Kingler so bad. I'm going to be entering the online lottery every day.
Oh, wow.
Because Annette Bening.
Yeah?
Whoa, I did not know Annette Bening was in it.
She plays, what's the oldest daughter's name? Regan?
One of the
bad daughters? Yeah.
No, the oldest, whoever the oldest daughter is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and John Lithgow's Kingler.
Yeah. I finally saw Love is Strange. I'm into the Lithgow.
It's the Shakespeare
here.
In the Park, yeah.
Oh.
So I have to do the online lottery every day.
That's how I saw Into the Woods when it was there. What, a couple years ago, with Amy Adams. Was the online lottery. My friend won it that day, and his friend won it that day. So we had like four tickets to deal with. It was really fun.
Yeah, awesome. I saw that one too. It was fun to see Donna Murphy do the Witch.
Donna Murphy was great. Yeah. Oh God, Dennis O'Hare less so.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Is the baker. It was Dennis O'Hare, Amy Adams, Donna Murphy, Jesse Mueller.
Oh, Carol Kane.
Yeah, it was a pretty decent cast. It was my least favorite production of Into the Woods I've seen, but it was a pretty decent cast.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm going to go finish The Immigrant.
Okay.
Joy question.
We heard your ice sinking in your glass.
Oh no, that was me.
That was me. That was me.
Oh. I'm gonna go make coffee and then finish The Immigrant. But this was fun. I'm so glad that I managed to get on the podcast again.
Yay!
And so next week we're gonna count on doing it.
Sure. We do Guardians of the Galaxy next week.
Nice.
And maybe get on up.
Sounds good to me. I don't have any Sunday conflicts till Labor Day, and then after that you guys go to Toronto. So. And I'll sit here and cry.
This is ridiculous.
What's coming out next week?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Right.
God. So it's another one of those Transformers weekends.
That is Expendables 3 and The Giver, which I could see for the Meryl Streep of it and for you guys.
That's The Giver.
And then Sin City, If I Stay, and something called When the Game Stands Tall.
There is no way in hell I'm ever watching If I Stay.
Oh, yeah? That's the one that I can see. I can way more imagine seeing that than Sin City 2.
I will see it, but I will hate it. Of
Chloe Grace Moretz?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Can she decide if she's Chloe Grace or Chloe, though? It's like it's where it's every other movie the name changes.
That's true.
Again, international court. Like, The Hague is just waiting there for these rulings.
I think Joe's going to be in charge of this international court.
I am.
It's just making her IMDb profile so weird. Credited as changes.
And then Labor Day weekend is where it gets really desperate. As Above, So Below, and The November Man.
Oh, The November Man.
That's a...
All the movies that you've listed, As Above, So Below is the one I'm probably most likely to see.
Which one is As Above, So Below?
Wait, what is that?
That's where it's the descent in the Parisian catacombs, and you run into like hellish projections of your own biggest shame or worst fear. Atrocious, but I'm sure I will go.
But that's also the last of Robin Hood that weekend.
The last Robin Hood? What is that?
Errol Flynn biopic.
Oh.
Kevin Kline, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No. I think it played Toronto last year or something.
I don't think so.
Well, it played some festival because people have written about it.
Oh, people have written about it and still... Oh.
Yeah.
I'm getting a sad vibe.
Well, it's Dakota Fanning as his teenage lover.
What?
Yeah, and
Susan. As in the person he raped?
Oh, I don't know the whole story. I just know I've seen photos of the original Errol Flynn and his, like, underage girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it's freaky how much they look like Kevin Kline and Dakota Fanning.
Huh. Oh, dear.
Sounds unnerving.
And Susan Sarandon is her mother, I guess.
Well, weird. She'll get to get mad.
Yeah.
Joe, that's your cue for your line.
Oh, you put a tomb in the middle of your house? Is that put a tomb in the middle of Errol Flynn's house. After.